And the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Brown. I am recused from both State versus Brown and State versus Chase, the last two cases of the day, so I will be exiting the courtroom. And it is my understanding that Justice Miller-Lerman and Justice Castle have come to a conclusion about who is going to be presiding, and I will let them explain that situation.
Thank you, Chief. We'll pause briefly while the Chief exits the courtroom. Because Justice Miller-Lerman is appearing by WebEx and I'm in the courtroom, she's asked me to preside over the last two cases of the day, which I'm very happy to do. Now that the Chief has exited, we'll take up State versus Brown. Mr. Hayes, if you're ready to proceed, you may do so.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Robert Hayes, and I'm the attorney for Joshua Brown, who's charged with first degree assault. The information in his case was filed on October 31st of 2019. I calculated the last date to bring him to trial to be May 1st of 2020. The Attorney General calculated that as April 30th. I think the Attorney General is correct. This case has been continued three times. First time it was continued on the motion of the county attorney. The second two times it was continued by the court. I objected to the state's motion to continue, which was, I believe it was filed on January 29th of 2020 and ruled on January 31st.
What was the basis of that?
The basis of the request, as the written motion said, the state needed more time to prepare. When we had the hearing, the county attorney said that their office had recently become aware that the alleged victim in the case is located out of state, said they had been in contact with her and that they were just requesting more time for her to make arrangements to appear at trial. He didn't say why the county attorney just became aware that she was out of state, didn't say whether they'd made any attempt to bring her to the state, whether she had refused to come to the state. He just said, we just found out. And the state did not argue that this was excludable time, and the court didn't find that it was excludable time. It was not excludable time. As I understand the state's argument is, if the state requests the continuance because they're not ready and it's granted, that is therefore good cause to extend the time. And I don't think that's what the statute says.
Is there an affidavit offered in support of that motion?
No.
Just argument.
Yeah. And to be clear, in Lancaster County, we have docket calls and we get up and we argue things. And it was somewhat unusual that there was a written motion in the case, but the court did take it up and the county attorney stated what his reasons were for wanting. And I accept that. But the statute says that the evidence has to be unavailable. He didn't say the evidence was unavailable. And the evidence has to show that he used due diligence to obtain the evidence. And he didn't even say that he used due diligence to obtain the evidence. He just said he wanted more time.
At the time that that was granted, there was still a lot of time remaining for trial.
There was. Yes.
So aren't we really here talking about the pandemic?
Well, actually, I was kind of surprised that the state raised the issue about the first condition or first continuance. Yes, we're here about the pandemic. And with respect to the pandemic, that falls under subsection 4F, other good cause. Both of the continuances that were granted by the court were continued without any hearing. The court just issued an order. The first order that was issued March 23rd was, as the record shows, I filed a number of pretrial motions expecting to go to trial that term. Those motions were set for hearing on the 23rd. My client and I went to court for the hearing. Doors were locked. We were met by a sheriff who handed us an order saying that it had been continued. So I then withdrew all my motions. I did it formally, and then I filed an objection to the continuance. Our position.
I beg your pardon. This is Justice Miller Lerman. I beg your pardon, sir.
Continuance. The district court has to have evidence outside of the judge's own personal knowledge that is, that justifies continuing this case.
Is judicial notice of something a form of evidence that can suffice for that?
I think that in his orders, Judge Jacobson said that he took judicial notice of various facts, and I really don't have an argument with that. That's okay.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Hayes. I'm wondering if you could answer a question on my behalf.
But one of the things he looked at was the Chief Justice's administrative orders, the first of which was on March 12th, and which said, which acknowledged that there was a public health emergency and that that needed to be dealt with, and set out some procedures to try and assure that it not be a problem, but specifically said that the courts were not to close. The second order.
You are not making, at least I didn't understand your brief to be making the argument that the court had to be closed before there could have been good cause. And you're not making that argument today, are you?
What I'm saying is, if the Chief Justice has closed the courts, I wouldn't be here. He did. He said the courts are open. So what I'm saying is, if the courts are open, it is not sufficient for the district court judge to say, we have a pandemic, we have an emergency, the president is saying this, the governor is saying this, the health department is saying this, the mayor is saying this. The fact of the matter is, the courts were open and the courts were told to deal with that. Now, we've been in a pandemic now for a long time, and there have been jury trials. And the reasons there have been jury trials is because the courts figured out how to do jury trials during the course of the pandemic. There was no effort to do anything to see if a trial could be had during the course of the pandemic. And that's what I am arguing the district court failed to do. If there was good cause to continue it, it was incumbent upon the district court judge to explain what it was about this case that prevented the case from being tried.
At what point do you feel the court needed to explain that?
I'm sorry, that they didn't explain it?
At what point did they need to do it? At the time the continuance was granted or during the motion for discharge?
Well, I think at the time of the order, the judge should have said, we cannot try this case.
The order of continuance.
The order of continuance for this reason. The judge gave his reasons for granting the continuance, and it didn't include anything that said, we tried to make accommodation and we were unable to do so. there have been difficulties during the course of the pandemic in getting locations to pictures and.
Is there statutory requirement for the courthouse?
Well, I take the Chief Justice's order to be, we need to figure out how to keep the courts open during the course of the pandemic. I mean, I do think the courts are required, certainly, to figure out how to try a case. Courthouse burns down, that's not my client's problem, that's the court's. Court has fine.
I'm sorry, maybe my question wasn't clear. Is there a statutory requirement for the court to set forth its good cause at the time the continuance is?
Yes. Oh, no, it's not in the statute, it's in State versus Alvarez, where the specifically says the trial court shall make specific findings as to the cause or causes of the extensions and the period of extension attributable to those causes. And the substantial preponderance of the evidence has to support that finding. So the judge specifically has to make that finding.
Was that a sua sponte continuance in Alvarez?
Yes. Oh, no, not in Alvarez. Wait a minute.
I beg your pardon. I have a question, if you don't mind. Do you find the reasons that the trial court gave did not satisfy the constitutional requirements of speedy trial?
Yes, I don't think it meets the constitutional requirements. I don't think it meets the statutory requirements, and I don't think it meets the constitutional requirements.
Well, let me go back to the statute then. There are non, is this correct given the language of the statute, given the language of 4F, there are non-statutory factors that the trial court can consider, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
In further response to that, I would say the factors that the judge stated in his order were essentially the factors the Chief Justice talked about in his order, where he said, basically, despite the fact that we have this problem, we're not closing the courts, we have to deal with the problem. And what I'm saying is, the court did not take any steps to try and deal with the problem. There's no more questions.
Thank you. How much time did we take the appellant over?
1 minute and 4 seconds.
1 minute and 54 seconds. We'll add that time onto the appellee's time. Ms. Faust, you may approach and proceed when you're ready.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Stacey Faust. I'm Assistant Attorney General representing the appellee, the state of Nebraska. Brown and Sines and I argues that the district court erred in denying his motion for discharge on both statutory and constitutional speedy trial grounds. The state obviously disagrees. This case involves two periods of time that are not in dispute and three periods of time that are. The first period is for the state's continuance, and I tried to not leave any possible period unargued, and that's why it's in my brief. And just briefly, the court declined to address that period in its order denying discharge, and the state submits that 66 days should be excludable for it because, one, the prosecutor's statements at the hearing on the motion established the three elements of 4CI, and two, Brown objected to the continuance but not to the prosecutor's showing.
I beg your pardon. This is Justice Miller-Lerman with a question. If the court were to find that continuances that the court granted due to COVID and so forth as good cause under 4F, where does that leave the math?
You don't need the state's continuance. And vice versa, if you have the state's continuance, you don't need any of the 4F time.
So just to clarify, and perhaps this is my weakness on these calculations, but if the court were to find that the continuance is attributed to COVID and so forth under 4F, then that would resolve the motion. Is that correct? Motion for discharge. Is that correct? That yeah. Those were proper. Is that correct?
Yes. Brown would have prematurely filed his motion for discharge. So the other two disputed periods involved the 100 days that the court excluded for under 4F for good cause. The court twice continued Brown's jury trial on its own because of the public safety health concerns surrounding the pandemic. Mr. Hayes made, you know, a big deal about the chief's orders saying, stay open, don't close. They didn't. They stayed open. The chief's orders also said that the courts shall devise and implement emergency preparedness plans. That's going to take a little bit of time when a global deadly pandemic that none of us have ever seen before and hopefully will never see again happens. And there are no case-specific findings that I'm aware of. There's any authority that requires case-specific findings. There's just going to be these general orders that talk about the pandemic and the distancing requirements and the dangerousness of it. Those are going to apply across the board during certain periods of time of this pandemic. The good cause findings in the order denying discharge can be summarized as this. There was not enough time between the pandemic and the April 6th scheduled trial to implement the necessary precautions to safely conduct jury trials. And in May, when the court continued the trial for a second time, cases were now on the rise in Lancaster County. Brown's argument is, part of his argument is based on this court's Baird case. He argues that the state failed to meet its burden to prove that time should be excluded under 4F for good cause due to the pandemic because the state presented no evidence to support the good cause findings. I understood his brief to mean that the state failed to offer evidence both at the time of the continuances or at the time of the discharge hearing. The state doesn't have to introduce evidence at the time of the continuances that the court does on its own motions. In order for the time to be excluded under 4F for good cause. First,
the appellant seems to take issue with the content of the order granting the continuance. What's the state's response to that?
Well, frankly, I mean, it's the state's view that the courts can continue these trials and just say, I'm continuing the trial because of the pandemic. It's not until after a motion for discharge is filed, that at the hearing on the discharge, that now the state has the burden to present evidence to support a finding of good cause for excluding that period of time because of the pandemic.
So, in essence, the state's view is that the district court in ruling upon and the state in presenting evidence on the motion for absolute discharge enjoys the benefit of hindsight.
Well, I'm just saying.
Are they limited to what the conditions were at the time the continuance was granted?
Yes.
Now they have to put on evidence of that.
Yeah, the burden isn't triggered until that motion is filed. We're not having many motions for discharge hearings all along the way. In the course of these proceedings.
But what the evidence would be presented would be. What was the situation on the ground at the time that
came? Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. How does judicial notice fit into this?
Well, judicial notice is a species of evidence, and it can, this court just recently on two different times has said that the state can meet its burden through means other than producing its own evidence. And judicial notice is that type of means. And I believe it's a 1988 case, State versus McKenna, talks about judicial notice being a means for the state to meet its burden. And that's how it worked here. The district court in its discharge order effectively took judicial notice of a bunch of DHMs and the general orders and the chief's orders. And And that was enough for the state to meet its burden here. I have asked in my brief for this court to take judicial notice of additional facts and sources, just kind of to put together a chronological timeline and support the court's findings. And I do ask you to take judicial notice of that to the extent it's necessary. But yes, I think that the state met its burden here, and it was through this court was okay to take judicial notice of all of those DHMs and orders. Well, as I said, I don't think that the state has to present evidence at the time of the continuance. That Baird case does not say that, in my view. I hope that in this opinion that this court specifically states that, because every single COVID speedy trial appeal that I've encountered so far, they're arguing that Baird states that the state has to present its evidence at the time that the continuances were ordered. And I don't believe that that is the case. And as I just said, I think that the state did meet its burden through, as the court explained in its order, the DHMs, the chief's orders, the general orders of Judge McManaman. And this court just recently defined good cause as a substantial reason, one that affords a legal excuse to exclude time under 4F for good cause. And that definition was met here for both continuances. Protecting against the spread of COVID-19 is obviously good cause. And as I tried to hint at before, there's just a period of time at the beginning of this pandemic because of the many unknowns about the disease, about its transmission, about the prevention of it, that time should be excluded from the speedy trial clock. Little was known when the court continued Brown's trial on March 23rd. And that was just 12 days after COVID-19 was declared a global pandemic. And it was just 7 days after the mayor of Lincoln declared a local emergency. But the guidance was that the most effective way to protect against the spread was the social distancing, the no more than 10 people in a group, and don't congregate in enclosed spaces. Of all court proceedings, jury trials are going to be the breeding ground for that exposure. And so, and the courts only had that guidance to go on, was the 6 feet of social distancing. Don't congregate, and no more than 10 people. The court was absolutely correct that it did not have enough time between the onset of the pandemic and the April 6th scheduled trial date to implement the necessary protocols to safely hold jury trials.
Would you care to comment briefly on the constitutional right?
Yes. Or properly denied. The motion on that ground as well, none of the 4 factors weigh in Brown's favor. The length of delay factor doesn't, because as I've argued, he prematurely filed his motion. The reason for delay factor doesn't, because the pandemic is a valid reason for delay as found by the majority of courts. And the state submits that the assertion of right factor is neutral because of the valid reason for delay. And the prejudice factor doesn't weigh in Brown's favor either, since he wasn't in custody throughout the majority of the proceedings, and he hasn't even argued any of the 3 identified interests of prejudice. If there are no further questions, we ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Caleb, there is no time for rebuttal, is that correct? Counsel, during the course of Ms. Faust's argument, she renewed what had been placed in her brief, the request for us to take judicial notice of certain things. If you wish to respond today to that request, I would give you 30 seconds to do so, given that your rebuttal time is already gone. Do you wish to have 30 seconds to respond to the request that we take judicial notice? Thank you very much. The appeal is submitted and counsel are excused, and we will proceed to the next case.